A few years ago, I was having some problems with my heart skipping beats. And along with some other tests, my cardiologist prescribed an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of your heart. So for this test, you're in a darkened room, lying on your side, your left side for some reason, and you can watch a computer screen as the sonographer presses the instrument against your chest to capture real-time video of various parts of your heart as it beats. For me, this was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. For the first time, I was able to see something that I had only known intellectually. Here was the muscle of my heart, just working and working and working away in my chest, the valves visibly opening and closing with every squeeze and relax, squeeze and relax. The vast majority of the time, I take that for granted. But it's really quite a miraculous thing to be a body. In preparing to preach on this text from Corinthians, I looked up the word body in a concordance and found that it appears 84 times just in the letters in the New Testament. It's quite a theme we have in the writings from Paul. If it seemed like he was going on and on about it in the reading we heard this morning, well, he was. He obviously thinks this is important, and he really wants his readers to remember it. This is not the only passage in which he talks about us believers as the body of Christ. He writes very similar passages in the letters to the Romans, the Ephesians, and the Colossians. He was addressing questions and challenges faced by these new churches that are not so different from things that we have to deal with today. One thing that Paul emphasizes in the passage we heard this morning is respect. The first thing he tells us is that each one of us needs to respect ourselves and our own belonging. If one part of the body decides it doesn't belong, shuts down, or quits being part of the whole body suffers. We can see that in our own bodies in the case of organ failure or even a sprained ankle. One part not participating has an effect far beyond just itself. So each one of us has our own role to play, and we should not be looking at other people and thinking they are more important than we are. The second aspect of respect, he points out, is that within a body, there's a lot of diversity. When he says, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we might be well to hear Baptists or Catholics, mechanics or lawyers, teenagers or senior citizens. We are all part of the body of Christ. Now, sometimes the members of a body work really well together, and sometimes not as well as you'd expect. Here's an example of that in your own body. Most of us can fairly easily do the same thing with our two hands mirror imaging each other quite easily. Try it. Just go like this. You can, I can't do this as well as I could before I broke my arm this year. Some of us may or may not be able to. We can all picture that. That's fairly easy. Now, try to pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time. And now try switching hands and doing it with whatever's the less natural hand to do that with. For most of us, that's considerably more challenging. Now, imagine what Brenda does playing the organ, doing completely different things with her two hands and playing with her feet on the pedals as well. By the way, Brenda, Bob McWhorter suggested that he'd like to see you play the organ and pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time. You have to talk to Bob about that. Obviously, this harmonious coordination of different parts of the body takes practice. But Paul is telling us that it's really important to practice this in our community. Not to look at some other part of the body, whether it's another individual or another group of Christians, and think that we are superior or more necessary. If one of my feet were to say to the other one, "I have no need of you," what would happen? I tried this out. It sort of works for a while, but it's really not very effective. It would be much more effective if the two of them worked together. And imagine the chaos if they decided to go in different directions rather than listening to signals from my brain about where the whole body needed to go. I'm not going to demonstrate that one for you. I tried it and it was a really bad idea. Now here's where it gets really interesting. Paul uses these words, the body of Christ, as an analogy, but not just an analogy. There are two layers to this. On one level, he's saying that we, the community of believers, are like the body of Christ. We need to figure out how to respect ourselves and each other and work together in diversity and so on. Then on another level, he declares that we, you and I, are the body of Christ in the world. This is related to what I was thinking about when I made the fingerprint piece of art that's been in the narthex during Advent and Christmas. We, you and I, have God's fingerprints. Here are a couple more things that Paul has to say to us about our bodies as he's working up to that idea. From earlier in this letter to the Corinthians, he says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." There's a sense in which our bodies don't just belong to us. They belong also to God. And from his letter to the Romans, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice." That one might sound familiar. It's quoted in our Eucharistic prayer in Rite 1. From his letter to the Philippians, "God will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory." So no matter how humble and imperfect our bodies might be, God is capable of using them. And this one from the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, "Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies." That the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. How can this be, you ask? We heard this same question on the lips of Mary in the readings around Christmas last month. The very first mention of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is this, bringing about the body of Christ, the physical presence of God in the world, in this case, a baby, in cooperation with a human being. And when Mary asks our same question, how can this be? I'm not ready. I'm not experienced. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not that important. The answer is, with God, nothing will be impossible. All that was necessary was for Mary to give her consent. She just had to be willing, and the Holy Spirit took care of the how. So we are being asked to do two things. One is to be the body of Christ in here by recognizing that each and every person in the church, the person next to you in the pew, and the kids we write letters to in Benin, and the folks down the road at Rocky Mountain Christian Church, are all members of one body. And the more we can respect and cooperate with each other, the more healthy that body will be. And we are also being asked to go forth from here today being willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who would really like to use us to make the body of God, the very physical presence of God, visible in the world. Amen. Amen.